Good morning, welcome back to Nachyomi. Today we're going to be focusing on Mizmor Aleph, the first Mizmor, the first chapter of the book of Tehillim. And we're going to do, as we go through this Sefer, we're going to focus on five things when we look at each Mizmor. Number one, the overview of the structure. Number two, the central themes. Number three, events in the past which relate to this Mizmor. Number four, places this Mizmor appears outside of the book of Tehillim. And finally, where some Psukim in the spotlight. Let's take a quick look at this Mizmor. Structurally, it is made up of five psukim. Another aspect of the structure is that actually it could be merged with the second Mizmor in Tehillim. Aleph and Beis may actually be the same one. How do you see this? One example is the Gemara in Brachos, Daf Yud Amud Aleph, tells us that when David HaMelech had a section of Tehillim, or a Mizmor in Tehillim, which was exceptionally meaningful to him, Chaviva Olav, what he did was he started and ended it with the word Ashrei. And the example is given is the first one. Why? Because it starts with the words Ashrei Ha'ish, and it ends with the words Ashrei Kol Chosei Boy. Praiseworthy are those who trust in him. But those words, Ashrei Kol Chosei Boy, is actually at the end of Mizmor Beis, the second paragraph, which indicates that certainly in the perspective of the Gemara in Brachos, this was in fact the same as number two. And this guy comes back to an important point, that although we're used to thinking that Tehillim has 150 chapters, 150 prokim, that is actually perhaps not the case originally. Chazal tell us that it has, a number of midrashim indicate that it has 147, which are parallel to the years that Yaakov Avinu lived. It seems that over time, a number of them were split up into two distinct ones, and this is one example. One and two could have been originally one unit. That's in terms of overview and structure. Let's focus on the themes for a moment, moving on to the next idea. There seems to be two major themes here. The one is the theme of overcoming indulgence, overcoming one's yetzer hara, one's inclination, theologically or physically, to go in the wrong direction. The Gemara in Avodah Zarah actually notes over here that if you look carefully in this Mizmor, in the first pasuk, you will notice a number of different verbs. There, the verbs seem to include walking, standing, and sitting. So what is going on over here? If you actually look at the pasuk, is Ashrei Ha'ish Asher Lo Halach Ba'atzas Rasha'im, Derech Rasha'im Lo Amad U'Moshav Yatzim Lo Yashav. So you're not getting involved in evildoers in three verbs. Why so? The Gemara in Avodah Zarah says very explicitly, She'im Halach Sofo Lamod, V'im Amad Sofo Leishav, V'im Yashav Sofo Lalutz. The Gemara is saying is that this is a trajectory. If you want to allow your Yetzer Hara in, you want to allow your indulgences, you say, no, I'll just push the snooze once. I'll just hang out in the bar a little bit. Whatever that rationalization a person gives, it starts off as just walking. I'll pass by. I'll just walk by that item, that idea, that thing that I'm yearning for. Well, you start by walking by, then you stop by standing there. Once you start standing there, then you actually get sit down. That is the trajectory. That's the movement of a person. A person never jumps in the deep end into something which one knows is a problem. One incrementally, sequentially gets there. And that's what this Mizmor is trying to tell us to avoid. This is the tools necessary to avoid it. That's theme number one, is how to overcome one's indulgences. The second theme seems to be the theme of reward and punishment. This Mizmor is clearly telling us that people who do good will be successful, people who do bad will be hurt, will ultimately be punished for that. And the imagery that we see for this over here is the notion of this tree. We're talking about foliage. The tzaddikim are compared to the foliage which is well-rooted next to the brooks of water. The rishayim are compared to chaff which is blown away in the wind. There seems to be a very clear theology over here. It's important to bear this mind as we go later on in Tehillim, particularly when we get to the third book of Tehillim, where David HaMelech will question this when he looks out at the world and says, it doesn't seem to be true in all instances. But nonetheless, we need to get the principles correct and firm, and that's how he starts off, before we enter into the fray of questions. In this note, by the way, the Malbim in his introduction to this particular paragraph of Tehillim, this Mizmor, points out that the word osher, or ashrei, happiness, is being defined over here. It is not being defined as being physically happy, plump, satiated. It's talking about an emotional, spiritual state of being, and that's why you can have animals which are far more sophisticated in terms of physically and more powerful than human beings, but they don't have a sense of osher. They may have a sense of completeness, but a human being to have a sense of meaning, purpose, fulfillment, needs to have a we'll call it more cerebral, more emotional sense of what real happiness is. And this is what the Mizmor is defining for us. It's beyond simply their physical capabilities. in considering events that occur in the past behind this mizmor, that nothing seems to come to mind just looking at it. However, the Midrash in Tehillim at the very, very beginning of this perek, Aleph, Yud Aleph, tells us that this whole mizmor actually may be referring to Avraham Avinu. We're starting off over here about the first person who found monotheism and taught monotheism. So it's a description of his actual journey. And therefore the Midrash passes out when it talks about Holoi Holach Ba'atzas Roshayim, that he didn't walk in the advice or the council of evildoers. It refers to Avraham Avinu not being part of the Tower of Bavel. When it talks about Moshe Rabbeinu Tzim, the next section, which was Moshe Rabbeinu Tzim Lo Yashav, that refers to, actually that's the third section, that refers to not being a judge for the Philistines. He did not get involved in sitting at their gates. And the middle section was Lo Halach Ba'atzas Rishayim, he did not, that he did not go in the path of the evildoers, that refers to not staying around the people of Sodom. So this is actually his personal journey, and therefore the Midrash goes on further to say that the leaves which won't fade of Avram refer to Yishmael, and the fruit which will succeed will be Yitzchak. So all the products of Avram Avinu in his personal journey, which set us instead for all of history, are to be found in this description. So this is not simply a description or a manual for every human being, but it's actually a description of the journey of the ultimate human being who found HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's the way the Midrash views this Mizmor Tehillim. Finally, just Psukim in the spotlight. Actually, there are no places this Mizmor appears specifically in Tefillah itself. It's not found in liturgy as much. We'll see many others that do. But Psukim in the spotlight over here is just in terms of the imagery. How far does the imagery go of this tree business, of the Tzaddikim being like this firmly rooted tree and the Rishayim being like the chaff? So in terms of the Tzaddikim being like this firmly rooted tree, the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chaf Aleph from Abayis tells us, based on this Pasuk in Tehillim, that Yafes Tichosam Shal Avdei Avos Yosemi Tarasan Shal Bonim, that we have to pay very careful attention even to the side conversations of the great ones, of the sages. And the example that's given is that Rabban Gamliel is talking in the Mishnah about a story that happened with his servant Tavi Avdei. And from the story, we learn immense amounts of halacha. And so what the Gemara is saying is that it's not just the fruit, it's not the tachlis, just the outcome of their statements, which we need to be paying attention to, but it's even the cursory comments they make, which can be and should be taken very seriously. And in terms of the chaff, the Malbim points out that why are Rishayim compared to chaff? Because not only is chaff just a part of the plant which is not life-giving, which is not necessarily going to be kept at the end, it's also something which will be separated. Meaning to say, although sometimes you look around in this world and evildoers seem to be the center of attraction, in the end of the day, the real gravitational magnets, the real center of orbit when it comes to the world to come are going to be the tzaddikim, and separate, they're not going to even be able to be attached, are the Rishayim. And that's perhaps an extension of that imagery. This closes Mizmor Aleph. We will continue tomorrow. In the meantime, have a wonderful and meaningful day.